Hi, I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Stephanie Weaver.
Jules McCullough.
We are ArtBS. ArtBS is a podcast for artists that provide business solutions. We discuss all aspects of being an artist, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can stay focused on their creativity. We are what we repeatedly do. Excellence, then, is not an act, but a habit. That quote is by Aristotle. In today's podcast of ArtBS, we're talking about habits and routines. Do they help you or do they hinder you? And do they help with your creativity or maybe just your business? We're going to discuss these things and more. Okay, so welcome, everybody. We're going to be talking about habits and routines. I don't even know where to begin with this one because we were just kind of laughing beforehand. But I know that Julie's probably the best at this, and then Stephanie. And then I'm like way far behind. I'm not even third. I might be fifth. But I do have habits. I just don't. I do have a few habits. But anyway, I wanted to get into Miss. Well, I don't know.
No,
y'all are both. I think
Julie's
the best.
Yeah, I'd say Stephanie is. Stephanie's the best at tackling her to-do list.
Yeah.
But that's not a habit or routine.
Right.
That's
no.
Just
true.
A character.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
trait.
True.
Yeah.
I
it's a character trait.
That's funny.
Okay. Well, am I wrong?
You are not wrong.
That's just who you are, though.
I'm special.
No. Just kidding. Well, yes, but I mean that's what makes you so good at what you do. You have like you have a work ethic like no one else I've ever met.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
But as far as habits,
for actual habits and actual routines.
You're
so
good.
Yeah, and I think I'm good because if I don't have a routine or a habit in place, I don't get anything accomplished. I don't even touch my to-do list. So it's like we eat dinner as a family every night. This is the first year that we can't do it every night due to high school activities. And it bothers me. Because that's where we discuss as a family, okay, what's going on this week? So we make sure every Sunday night for sure. So we are prepared for the week ahead. But I also on Sundays look at my week ahead. So with that as our routine of discussing that, I'm able to balance my goals for that week appropriately. So from a routine standpoint, that's really important to me. Like if it doesn't happen, I am all over the place.
Well, you used to have a morning routine.
Yes. And I'm getting
when
back.
The kids were small, you had a really good.
Oh, yes. When the kids were small and I wasn't driving kids to school or doing this, that, or the other thing. I mean, ever since my mom died, I've gotten out of that. But I'm finally to the point where I'm getting back into it because my son just got his license. So he's taking my middle daughter and him to school. And now this week will be the first full week of. Oh, I've got my mornings back.
Oh, nice.
You know, I can get up and get the youngest on the bus and I can go do what I need to do because I don't need to help my two high schoolers get their stuff together. Now I have to get in the habit of getting up.
Which is surprising. That's something that's worn off on you. And now I'm like the early person. Now I'll get up and I'm like, we've swapped.
Yeah. Because, I mean, before
my early person,
before my mom died, I was getting up at 5:30, but I was caring for three kids. My husband was working at his office. I was caring for my mom. So I'd get everyone on the bus and go. And then I'd do my thing for about an hour. And then I'd go to my mom's and get her up and make sure she's doing what she needed to be doing. And yeah, so the last few years, it's just been a nightmare mess. I just get up when I need to get up and not worry about it as much. But I am excited to get back into that morning routine now that I have some balance in the morning again.
But you had that where you would do like journaling.
Yes. And I want to get back to do that. I'd go. So I used to get up and get the youngest on the bus, or really the youngest two at that point, because they rode the same bus time, which was like 6:45. They got picked up. And sometimes I'd walk before I got them on the bus And sometimes it was after I got them on the bus, and then I would come in and I wouldn't even shower right away. I'd get in my office and I'd journal and for like an hour, and then I'd go shower, and then I'd get back to real work. So I still wasn't starting work until like 9 or 10, but so I had that entire morning time, 3 hours or more, to do what I needed to do in the morning, routine wise. And I'm working back towards that again. And then my day, because I'm brain dead after four. I mean, after 4 or 5 o'clock, don't ask me to do anything that requires heavy thinking, you know?
Right.
But yeah, so.
I like that you guys did dinner together. That's nice. A lot of people don't do that.
No, a lot of people don't. And that is probably my number one thing as a family. I didn't have that as a child growing up because it was just my mom and I, and she had to work. And so we get so much discussion done around the day. I mean, our dinner discussion is about, okay, where are you going for running this week? Where are you cheering this week? When do you have practices this week? When do you have horseback? Are you going on a trail ride this week? Are you not? What's going on with the school? Mm-hmm. Who needs a check for the school? Like every night we're writing checks to the school, it seems like.
sign this, sign that.
So it's like, it's our time to actually come together as a family and be on the same page. What are we doing for fall break? Where do you want to go? Where do you want to go? What do you want? You know, that's our family meeting time, is around the dinner table. I'm so thankful I enforced that since the day that we had kids. You know, yeah, that's just been ultimate important to me, because I was denied that as a child. And I mean, that's no one's fault. It's just the way the world worked at that time. I turned out fine. That's like, there's nothing wrong with me. I know if we don't do that, it's fine. But yeah, I saw those air quotes. So routine is like very important to keep your goals in mind. I'm talking about family, but that's really where my routine starts, is with my family. Because then I can think about my business and what I'm going to have time to do, and set realistic expectations for the week and the goals. And I think one of our earlier podcasts, we talked about having one goal a week, and I'm moving much more in that realm so that I have less stress. And that's the other big thing about routines and habits, is the you really end up with less stress.
So what about you, Stephanie? You're really good about tackling your to-do list and things during the day. But do you have like a routine or habit that helps you accomplish that during the day?
Yeah. So listening to Julie, I think I discovered like a little bit of a disconnect for myself, and understanding what, you know, when we talk about routine versus schedule versus habit. So when I first think of routines, it's, and then when I hear it, Julie, it's, I think it aligns with schedule. Yeah. And I definitely have a schedule. Mm-hmm. So mine is, and I was writing it down over here in little blocks that you can kind of see.
Oh my gosh.
So it looks like a table.
Yeah. Bless my heart. So from 5:30 to 7:30, that's when I do, like, I'm sitting out on the back porch, generally drinking my coffee, talking with my husband, reading stuff, or doing my little journal type things. And it's really just kind of setting, here's what I want to get done today, every day. And then from 7:30 to 9:30 is usually some sort of exercise. And then at 10, and then about 30 minutes to actually clean up. Sometimes I do it, sometimes I don't. Depends on how fast I want to kind of get into the work thing. And then from like 10 to 12 work, 1 to 4 work. And then I break when the kids get home, find out how their day went, if they came home. 4:30 to 5 work. And then after 6, it's soccer, tennis, and family time. We are not as good as I'd like to be about having family meals. And it's really fallen off, especially since now they're in like middle school and high school.
With all the after school activity. Yeah,
they're in like Emily, my daughter, she made middle school soccer, high school soccer, and then she's also in club soccer.
So you, oh my gosh, she has no time.
Yeah, her day's free, and she's taking like Japanese lessons on Wednesdays. And so her only day free is Sunday. So I try not to schedule anything for them anymore. But I think one of the things so Rachel has been blessed with 2 wonderful children who are now out of the house. What does your routine look like? What do we have to look forward to?
My routine is really kind of doing what I want to do. So I usually get up, my alarm goes off at 6 and I'm up. John's already gone. He's an early bird. He's already gone into work. And I grab my coffee. I sit, eat breakfast, catch up on news of some kind. Usually I'm still in my, I'm in my office. And then once I'm done with my coffee and everything, I will usually go over email. And that'll be the one time a day that I hit my email. Because if I don't hit my email before 9 o'clock, it's not going to get looked at that day.
Oh, so there's a cue for Julie and I. We need to get the email at 8 o'clock in the morning. So it'll be there at 9.
Right.
Sweet, sweet.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. It really is. And I mean, I've got, I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I have like 8 emails. Mm-hmm. And they're all different.
Oh, 8 email addresses. Oh, my word.
I have my personal. Then I have Bubbly Bibbly. Then I've got my 2 Etsy's.
Yeah.
And then I've got JMA's. And I have Social Media 360. Mm-hmm. And they all get different emails. And most of them are junk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
Right. But then I've got the couple. So I don't have email on my phone. So that's the thing is, if I don't check it, then it usually, and sometimes I'll catch up and I will read through it during lunch. But sometimes at lunch, I will go in the kitchen. I get out of my studio and I usually, you know, let the dog out, walk around the backyard, whatever. And this is when Emma told me I should be walking or doing something athletic. So I'm thinking about that. Yeah.
Listen to a book or something.
Yeah, I always do. And then John gets home early. And then I usually try and shut things down by 4. The only thing that I do now have a routine and a habit is painting with you on Wednesday nights and Friday afternoons.
Yeah.
And I really try hard not to miss those.
Yeah.
I'm either sick or I was quarantining or something came up, a lunch or something. But normally I keep those because that's my schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And then Saturdays and Sundays are wonderful. You don't have to be anywhere. You don't have to be at a race by 8 o'clock at the other end of the state. You don't have to like go be anywhere on Friday nights. Or John and I have date nights on Friday nights.
Yeah, that's funny you say that, because on Friday night, JP went to, it was a 2-day race because it was over 100 schools from the Southeast were at this race this weekend. And luckily it was just here in Huntsville. Right. And so he went to watch the middle schoolers run. Lauren didn't want to go anywhere. Catherine went to spend the night at a friend's. And so John and I went out for Mexican because I didn't feel like cooking. I haven't felt like cooking for a while now.
Since you got back from France.
Yeah, that's correct. And so John and I went out by ourselves and we didn't have to get a sitter. We didn't, like, it was weird. JP picked up dinner for Lauren on his way home. I'm like, we're both so like, nice. Maybe we are going to like this him driving thing.
It is so nice.
Freedom.
I'm telling you, I didn't even care if Neil was a good driver or not. When he turned 16, we were like, here, you're taking your kid. You're taking your sister
to school. Exactly, you're doing
this. You pick up this milk from the grocery store on the way home. And
that's next year when your life will really start changing.
Yeah.
When he can drive.
Oh, that's right. He can pick her up from soccer and do all that.
Yeah. Like he takes Lauren to school now.
So nice.
And then he picks her up some nights. Like today I have to pick her up because he'll still be at practice. But when she has practice till 5, he picks her up because he's at the school by 5:15.
Okay, this happens. They're very voluntarily happy about this for the first month.
Yeah. Oh.
Now, it'll change and you'll start getting eye rolls like, I don't want to pick her up. Well, sorry.
it's your turn.
And it is nice. So my house is very quiet. I've picked up the habit now where I'm always have music on in my house. Mm-hmm. That's for Julie. And it's so funny because when Julie and I were working together and she would be over there playing music and I'm like, I can't even think. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She's like, she tuned it out. I mean, I think it's because she has 3 kids. She can just tune out anything. And I'm like, okay, you've got music playing. And now it's like, my house is so quiet. I've got music playing in the background.
Well, that's why I started is because I was the only child and my mom worked full time. So I would always have a TV on or the music playing and I would just tune it out to do whatever I was doing, but it was always going.
Just add some background noise.
Yeah, because I couldn't stand the silence. Like if you could hear a pin drop, I would jump 10 feet in the air thinking that somebody was breaking in the house. So if I had music playing, I wouldn't be as jumpy.
But, and I do try to schedule most of my meetings before lunch or at lunch. Our mastermind is on Wednesdays. But, and then I work afterwards, like from 1 to 4 is when I really work.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's amazing.
Amazing. A little bit.
It's amazing.
I know this morning on the way here, I was like, I got 8 more years. It goes by
very quickly.
I know it does.
Like before we knew it, we're like, oh, okay. We're empty nesters, but we love it.
And do you have like, sorry, allergies. Do you have, Julie, like a morning routine that you do to help you get in the creative mindset?
Not really.
Yeah.
No. I have found, especially since, I mean, it's only been a week, but since I've been back from France, maybe it's been 2 weeks. I don't even know. But it's been two. I like to go straight to my office and play with my watercolors for a little bit.
Okay. Mm. So that's a routine.
Right? Yeah. It's becoming a routine. I find that I'm freeing my mind and I'm just playing, you know. And like something I made last week or the week before turned into an actual piece of artwork this weekend. So, you know, I'm playing, but it's going to hopefully monetize itself at some point.
So is the morning time like your creative time? Do you think that's when you're most creative?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
What about you?
I just don't want to be on the computer right the first thing in the morning either anymore.
Yeah. I'm definitely the most creative in the morning too, but I have a tendency just to go right for the computer. Back when the kids were younger, I would get up at 4:30 and just push it an hour earlier, 4:30. So I had time to paint for an hour before.
You're like, oh, no, girl.
Well, that's what I had. Cause like, the evenings were just, I'm not a night owl person.
I'm not either.
About 8 o'clock, my brain just shuts down. Mm-hmm. So, but I can get up at 4:30, make my coffee, have my me time. I put on like my headphones and I listen to music and I painted. And that way I had a little bit of creative time before I had to get everybody else up and running for the day. And then I went and did my computer work. Because I am my most productive before noon.
Yes, I agree. I am too.
Yeah, me too. But I will tell you though, and John laughs because if I end up staying after dinner, I'm like, oh, I'm ready for bed. Even when the kids were home, I'm like, I could go to bed at 6:30, 7, 8, whatever. I'm ready
Same
for
here.
Bed.
As soon as we eat dinner, I'm ready for bed.
And like I'm like totally zoned out. But if I stay up and the news comes on, I get a second wind.
Do you really?
Don't ask me. Yes. Mm. I can't tell you how many pieces I painted.
Really?
After that, like if I stay up, like John's like, I got to get in bed. And I'm like, okay, I'll clean the kitchen, clean it very quietly. And I'll go in there and either write or paint or whatever. And I can stay up until 12.
Nice.
Now I pay for it the next day, but
yeah,
not too bad. Usually I find that only happens maybe like once a week. I'll get it this stupid second win. And John's he's laughing. He's like, yeah, you wanted to go to bed at 7 o'clock tonight. And I'm like, well, I actually could have, but now I got my second win. So yeah. I wonder how many of our listeners, if they create in the morning or in the evening.
I know. I'm curious too, because I know a lot of people that create in the evening because I have a full-time job. So that's when they do their second job, their free time, you know,
their art,
right? Their side hustle. That's when they do their side hustle and they do their art and work on that stuff. But I can't do that.
Sometimes so when we paint on Wednesday, it's at 6 o'clock. It's your nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it does take me about 30 minutes to kind of like
get in the right frame of mind.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's usually we're talking or something. And then I'm like, I'm getting my paints out. It takes me a little bit longer. But I'm like on Fridays, when I hop on, I'm like, let's go. I'm painting. You got music going. I don't know why it's easier.
Yeah.
For me in the mornings, for sure.
So I think of like the entire painting process. I used to really get annoyed with the bringing out your paints, getting everything set up, and then the cleanup. I hated the cleanup. But now, over time, I see it as part of the routine, part of the ritual, so to speak, to get your mind into
it. It is a routine.
Mm-hmm. And it just gets your mind into it and relaxes. Oh, so I actually have a question for you guys. So we talked a little bit about emails. I know, Rachel.
I know, sorry.
We have a hard time emailing her.
Yes, we do.
But have you guys ever heard of this, like, get to zero inbox? Have you ever tried that or have you heard
So it? At the beginning of the year, and I've done this for probably about 5 years now, and I have yet to be successful, I create a folder in each one of my email accounts that says 2021 emails or 2020 emails or whatever, or January through March. Usually I do it at mid-year too. And I put all my emails from that time period that I haven't put into a specific file in that file folder in my Outlook. And I'm like, I think I go back to maybe once in a blue moon. And so at that point in time, my inboxes are all zero.
I like that idea.
I like that idea.
So
too.
I'm not getting rid of the emails and deleting them. I'm just moving them to a folder so they're not causing me problems.
Right.
And why would you just not delete them at that point?
Because believe like some of them, for instance, have documentation from teachers.
Gotcha.
Or, you know, and since you're midway through the school year, you never know when I'm going to, which is why I got pulled away because I was dealing with a teacher. You never know when you're going to need that documentation because I will like this call, I will follow up with an email that says, you know, here's for our conversation. This is what I understand from today. Thank you for calling me, blah, blah, blah. So when I make that folder, I'm going into my sent items as well and taking January 1 of 2021 through December 31st of 2021. And it's going to that folder.
But because isn't that kind of an archive where you just have it in a folder?
Does so
it,
I don't
like it better. In a
I
folder?
Like it better in a folder to get into Outlook archives. I haven't had a lot of experience with it in the couple times that I tried, which is probably back on, you know, Outlook 1990 or Outlook 94, whatever. It was hard to access those archives. So for me, it's just simpler. And then when I go into that account and I do a search, it will pull from those folders if I tell it to. Where if I was in an archive, I couldn't search for that person.
That's a good idea. So me and Stephanie are really thinking.
I know.
Oh, I got some folders I need to make.
This year, I probably will because my Outlook is getting pretty big. So this holiday season, yeah, you usually do it Christmas week when everything's dead anyways and you're just spending time with family. I'll just go ahead and do that. So this year, I will probably take a lot of that older stuff and make it into an Outlook PST file and or OST, whatever it is, and put it on my server at home. So then it gets backed up and that'll probably be like let's see, we're in 2021. So I'll probably do 2018 and earlier on my server in their own little OST files. And then all I'll have in my Outlook is 2019, 2020, and 2021.
So I wonder how we can do this with Gmail. Do you mess with Gmail at all?
Mm-mm. Yeah, see, Stephanie and I have Gmail.
I don't know how you, well, I mean, you can create a folder.
We can create a
folder and put it in that folder, just like you can Outlook.
And I think you can upload it to your computer. Because see, my Gmail, I have my Gmail through my Outlook. So when I pull up my Outlook, I have all my emails.
I have my Gmail connected into my Outlook and I'll just do that on my Gmail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll have a folder that I created in Outlook, but it shows up in my Gmail account that'll say 2019 emails, 2020 emails. And if I know I have some 2021 floating, so I'll put those into that folder. But I just recently turned notifications off on my phone for Outlook and I don't open my Outlook every day anymore because I learned the 2 weeks.
Hello.
The 2 weeks I was gone.
That was amazing, right? You don't have to.
Oh smell. My God. I hate email. And I hate text too, because I can't search text, but I hate that much. I hate that more.
I have a converter. She's following so me now. I'm sorry, Stephanie.
We're talking about habits and routines. I haven't been opening my email till usually after lunch now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because
I'm opening for her.
If it is open and something pops up on my screen that I have an email.
Oh, I turn off the pop-up thing. Yeah.
So the red circles. We're talking about habits and routines. The stupid red circles that you have on your phone that they now have on the stupid computer. That shows a little email box, you know, or a little envelope.
Yeah.
They distract me. I can't live with one saying one or 10. Like when I open my mom's email, because I still have her email going, you know, 110,000 and blah, blah, blah emails that she's never gotten rid of. And I'm like, I can't deal with her email. I know there's probably something in there that I need for about this, that, or the other thing that I legally now own, but I just can't deal with that right now. It's too many emails. But the 2 weeks I was gone, that's when I turned notifications off on my phone because I could not stand the red circles and I didn't always have access to internet. Mm-hmm. And so I just turned the red circle off. I was like, I'm done with this. Mm-hmm. It's distracting me from living in the moment of why I'm here in France. Mm.
See, this is going to be a new habit for her.
Mm-hmm. And so now I haven't turned it back on.
Yeah.
And Saturday and Sunday, I didn't open my email until we were here before we started recording. And I probably have 50 emails I need to go through, most of which are junk. But yeah.
Now, I actually do open yours, whether or not you want to believe me or not. I open you guys' emails. Now, Julie will have to, when we're talking, you'll have to say, now I did send that to you. I sent it to your Gmail. Okay, thank you. Yeah. That helps.
The search function is wonderful. I love search and Outlook. I use it all the time.
Me too.
To find stuff because, I mean, our inboxes are just.
But you can do it with Gmail too. Gmail searches aren't good too.
Yeah. I just, you know, I own my email account.
So this will be another good podcast episode. So you'll have to listen, but we'll talk about our apps and tech that we love. But as far as like,
here we go.
Creative habits. I think you getting up every morning and doodling with your, doodling with your.
Well, like I do stuff like that.
Yeah.
Not that you guys can see this, but you know, I just doodle flowers or doodle doodles just to open the sketchbook. Doodle doodles.
Doodle doodle.
Or open up the sketchbook and.
Or you paint. And that, I think that's great. Those are great routines to help you get in that creative mindset. And I love, like, when we get ready to paint, like getting all the paints out and getting your brushes out and getting the Gamsol out or getting the water out.
Well, that's what I love about Stephanie's routine or, you know, and habit of the painting Wednesday nights and Fridays is, I mean, she's kind of the one that, because you do that, you're kind of the one that got me into, I need to get back into this routine of doing something. And then I did that 100-day challenge a couple of years ago now. And that got me in the habit of just, I mean, even if it's just a stupid little flower on my, in pencil in my sketchbook, I've done something, you know, I've done something creative. And I think that's the biggest habit that we as creatives can get into is knowing that we have to do something creative every day. Doesn't have to be a masterpiece.
Right.
It just has to be something creative.
Right.
I read this book, Daily Rituals. How artists work. And it includes artists, writers, photographers, dancers, all these people. And I thought it was going to be one of these things where you actually get to live, like see how they, the rituals that they do to get ready for the creative process. But it actually talks about the overall rituals that they have during their life. And it was pretty interesting. So that's a book I would go out and I actually listened to it and I was like scribbling notes because I couldn't believe some of the routines. There were some writer
and I couldn't recall his name right now, but he was a writer that somehow found that he could write really well if he sat naked diddling with himself. He wrote really well.
Oh, my God.
That became his routine. He couldn't write without it.
Oh, my word.
Okay, so when you were saying diddling with oneself, you mean
diddling with himself. But
okay.
And that was in the book. And then there was other people that had the rituals. Like they had to have, I guess it was absinthe, some sort of narcotic thing. Drink before they could get quote creative.
Oh my word.
And these were some of their rituals.
It can be like hallucinogens.
Yes. And so that book, I was just, are you kidding me? But that was also one of the reasons why I started going, okay, if this is the way that they were, and some of them were very successful, some of them were not, you know, was it the routine that made them successful? Mm-hmm. No, it was their mindset that made them successful. They felt like they needed to do that. Like, I think it was either Beethoven or Bach. One of those guys had to have, I think it was like 67 coffee beans. And he was very meticulous about picking the coffee beans that needed to go in his coffee. Well, that didn't make his music. The routine didn't make him.
No, it's his, but it got him into the mindset of doing it. It's like Monet, you know, after visiting, oh God, it starts with a G. Anyways, after visiting Monet's gardens and his home, you know, he had to build what it was that he wanted to paint in order to paint it because he felt more ownership to it versus going somewhere to paint. Also, he was getting of the age where he couldn't travel to go to these places to paint. But he felt, you know, that was his kind of routine of building this area, building these flower gardens. Because that's what he wanted to paint, and picking the flowers specifically of what colors he wanted for what he wanted to paint.
Didn't he even become like a kind of amateur? I don't know where it's called, where they mix the color, mix the plants together.
Herbist. Yes, in fact, we saw
botanist.
Yes, because we saw a plant there that was part orchid and part, I think, lily that had been bred there.
That's so cool.
I can't remember exactly.
A larkin.
It was an orchid and something else. but yeah, so there was some unique plants there that I'd never seen before.
That's really cool.
So there's another kind of routine, or I guess you'd call that kind of routine. Like he would build what it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had the entire vision from beginning to end of what it was going to be painted.
I would imagine, and I'm just kind of imagining what it might be like to be him, where he got up in the morning and he went out to play in his garden, and that spawned his creativity. Here's what I want to paint today.
Well, and his studio opened right up too, because we walked through his home studio and, you know, just the doors were open and it was right there next to the garden. I mean,
the dream.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It certainly was. I was like, I asked my husband, so when are you building my garden? This is what I want in the backyard. But I haven't been able to do.
Well, so does having a routine really help your creativity then? Or no?
Yes. Well, you know, when we first posed this question, I was like, no, it doesn't. It really doesn't. But as we've discussed it today, I think it does, because I'm not always in the mood to create.
Right.
You know, I've always said all these years, well, I've got it. It's, you know, when that spark hits, like when I'm doing graphics for a company or something, you know, it's like, okay, now it hasn't hit me. Oh crap, it's due in 2 days. This has got to hit me what I'm going to create for them. And then all of a sudden it pops in my mind and I know what I'm going to create. It's like, boom, done. You know, this is what it's going to be. So I was thinking, no, habits and routines don't help my creativity, but actually I think they do.
I think they do too, because I think with habits and routines, you've got some sort of structure that allows for you to be creative.
Well, exactly. The reason I was thinking it was that very thing, like my Sunday night dinners where we started this conversation, that allows me to know how much time I have to create that week based on all the things that I have to do.
Well, I didn't even think that would help ground you a little bit too. Like bring you back and know that everything in your house is taken care of.
Right. I was going to say, yeah, it frees up your mind.
It
yeah.
does. It really frees up my mind to allow creativity to happen.
I love that.
Interesting. Well, you guys let us know some of your habits and routines that work for you and your creativity and your art.